Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Can't buy me love, love. Makes you feel alright. I'll get you anything, my friend, if it makes you feel alright. Cause I don't care too much for money, but money can buy me love. I'll give you all I've got to give.
Good morning, 710 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. I want to do something that's just a little bit weird. I want to go back in time because I happened to listen to John Hutchinson from February. John was filling in for me on Friday. And I love John. John's so capable. And I went back because he had asked me, you know, hey, do you have any advice for me? And I went back to the February broadcast that he did. And John, I'm angry at you.
Already? You just came back. I mean, at least give me a day.
No, this is anger for nobody told me. Okay.
Oh.
The anger is over a historical fact that John brought to light with a guy named Norm Hayes, who's an, he was not, what is his former degree now? I forget. Anyway, but he was on, and they were talking about history and whether Pensacola is the site of the first Spanish settlement.
Okay, I remember now.
Okay, so if I ask you the question, is Pensacola the site of the first European settlement, and your answer is, well, of course it is. We all know that.
Well, in researching Spanish history for one of my lectures, I came across the story of Lucas Vasquez de Ayllon, 1526. He set out on his expedition to establish a colony in America. He had three ships. He had 600 settlers that included 100 enslaved Africans. But it had food and livestock with pigs, cows, sheep, 100 horses. And he lost one of the ships on the way, but two of the ships made it to the eastern seaboard. And he went inland a short distance and established a colony. They built homes. They built a church. It was along a river. He made friends with the local native population. And so this truly became the first Spanish attempted settlement in the New World, in what would become the United States.
How big was his expedition, Dr. Haynes?
Well, it was large. He had 600 settlers, and so 100 of those were slaves. So it was certainly large enough to establish a significant settlement, population that could survive in that environment.
No,
So he was 1526. When was De Luna in Pensacola?
1559. So he was 33 years before Don Tristan De Luna's expedition to attempt to settle in Pensacola.
Okay.
And significant and distance.
No. Felt like everything my parents taught me turned out to be false. John, did you have that experience when you heard this?
I did. Yeah, I remember now those days.
Look,
I remember that day.
It is bad enough that the De Luna settlement was wiped out and abandoned. And as a result, when whatever happened over in St. Augustine later, and then they have a continuous settlement there, whatever. Okay, but we've always known that Pensacola was the first, right? The first.
Yeah, that's what we're taught.
We were the first. The first church service. We had the first settlement. We had the, you know, I mean, it didn't last. And then it came back later. So we're not the longest continuous, but we were the first. We were not the first. Mother of pearl. And even things like the first church service.
They had a settlement. They built a church and had a mass, which may well have been the first mass performed by the Spanish in a settlement area in the New World. He had two Franciscan priests with him on the journey.
on. Give me something, man. Well, okay, so here's the something. We are the first documented site because there's no, we don't know where the other site was. It was in South Carolina or Georgia. And the reason we don't know is because it was a catastrophe. Like, they came, a bunch of people died, their main supply ship that they carried over with them from Hispaniola, that's Puerto Rico, they brought over, that sank on a sandbar. They didn't find the trading partners. They found bad soil. They moved. They just, everything went wrong. And then, okay, disease set in, and then it got cold, and then, like had a internal revolution because Ayan died, and some of the group wanted to go back home, and some of the group wanted to stay, and there was fighting, and they enslaved, you know, they imprisoned one of the guys. And then there was a slave revolt because they brought slaves, and the slaves didn't want to go back home. They wanted to stay here. And in the end, it was all catastrophe. Out of the 600 people who came, 150 got back safely. And it's from their testimony and records that we even know all this happened. So we know this happened. We just don't know exactly where. And, of course, you know, we have found ships and buildings and all kinds of stuff for us here in Pensacola. But Pensacola was not the first. We were the first. Document it.
Yes, and I don't mean to demean what we have here. We should be very proud. The correct statement is Pensacola was one of the earliest attempted Spanish settlements in what would become the United States. And what sets us apart, we have the earliest documented site where it was. No one else can say that.
Profanity. Just like, I heard this and I thought, John, you've ripped everything I ever believed up. And what did I do? I went and did some research and looked at them. Yeah, sure enough, this is a real thing. They're not making it up. And I know John well enough that, you know, he would only do it if it were reliable. And he's like, I'll talk to Judy Benson. Judy Benson confirms it. And I'm like, okay. So, first non-continuous documented European settlement. I mean, I feel like a lot of the asterisks we're going to have to put on the welcome signs are kind of annoying, but so disheartening. Also, because as a non-native, okay, as a northerner, Midwestern kid, you know, you come here, you learn the stuff. You learn the five flags. Well, now four flags, four and a half flags, four flags with an asterisk, whatever we are. The city of, we don't talk about the flags anymore. Right?
Right.
Right, okay. You know, but at least we're the first European. Well, sir, I just don't know how to feel about this, John, except I feel let down and betrayed.
But don't take it out on me.
Well, I know it's not your fault.
I was like, I didn't do it.
You know.
But you were mad at me.
I feel like somebody came and proved to me that, you know, Donald Trump really is a good president, and all of a sudden I don't know what to make of the world anymore. It's got to be how people feel when, you know, cherished beliefs go away. It's hard. So, okay. So we're the first documented settlement. 718 on News Radio 92.3. We didn't do traffic yet, did we?
No.
Sorry, I've been talking about this. Go ahead, John.
Documented in quotes.
First documented traffic of the 7 o'clock hour.
That's right. Well, second, but who's counting?
Oh, right. No, you're right. See, I can't even get that right. Yeah, we're not even the first traffic of the hour.
No accidents to report to you right now. I-10, I-110 are flowing smoothly. And let's see here. Seeing some small delays if you're coming through downtown Milton, heading on Highway 90 westbound. You're going to see some minor delays there. But other than that, traffic is flowing smoothly. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the second five.
Yes. Every day it's going to be like this. The somebody says well, at 437-1620, you can always text me. Well, we'll have to rewrite the books and our entry signs in Pensacola to say one of the first. Somebody says that other one sounds like a Spanish camping trip, not a settlement. You know, how long does it have to be a settlement for it to? I mean, they were a settlement for a few months, you know. Anyway, yeah. And somebody else just says, Andrew, I 100% feel the same with a big crying emoji. Yes. Dang it. Stupid truth. Oh. Hey, if you're thinking about buying or selling a home, trying to decide what to, or, you know, even if you just have questions about real estate, you know, one of the things I always say about Christina Leavenworth, she's a great friend. She's a wonderful person. She's very smart, very knowledgeable, kind of like over-dedicated to what she does because she loves it so much. And she loves talking to people about real estate, especially if you don't know her. Like, you don't even know what you're doing. You don't, haven't made a decision. A lot of times people feel like you make a decision, then you call a realtor. Maybe call a realtor and let them help you make a decision. You know, because that's something you can do here. Call her and ask her your question. What's the market doing? What's my home worth? What would a home on the beach be, you know, cost me to do? What do you think the market's going to do? What, all this chaos around tariffs and all the other stuff, is that going to affect the price of a home because of lumber? I mean, like, ask her. And she'll help you kind of navigate this territory. Like, you've had somebody die and you've got to sell an estate. You're going through divorce and you've got to sell a home. Like, all those weird, funky, problematic situations that people encounter, she can help you navigate it, because anytime they encounter one of those, they get training and know how to handle it well. Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenrinke Realty, 723-9158.
Here's today's Strength for Life with your host, Pastor James C. Johnson.
Don't forget who the real enemy is. He is described in 1 Peter 5:8, where the Bible says, "Your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour." The devil is the diabolical one. He is as a roaring lion who is prowling around the neighborhood, seeking whom he may devour spiritually. Inside a home, a brother and sister or a husband and a wife may be arguing, maybe slamming doors and yelling. But the moment that they recognize that there's a prowler outside the house, petty differences and the argument disappear, and the family unites as one to protect their home. So it is God's call on His children to be sober and vigilant and resist the real enemy, the devil, and he will flee from you.
That was James C. Johnson. He serves as the pastor of North Stone Baptist Church in Pensacola, Florida. For more Strength for Life, please visit our website, strengthforlife.church.
Guys, ever had a bad experience in the bedroom that totally threw you off? It messes with your head, your confidence, and suddenly it's all you can think about. Next thing you know, you're avoiding trying altogether because the fear of failure is just too much. That's where Wave Men's Health comes in. Their providers have been helping men overcome ED and providing hope even when the pills and other treatments have failed. Their proven personalized treatments have some of the highest success rates out there. No awkwardness, no judgment, just real results that bring back your confidence and that connection. It's important to get your ED treated quickly so that it doesn't get harder to treat down the road. Wave Men's Health has treatments that online pharmacies only dream about. Tonight is your night for intimacy and connection. Call Wave Men's Health today at 850-266-7020 or visit wavemenshealth.com. Your consultation is discreet and could be the start of something incredible. 850-266-7020 or visit wavemenshealth.com. And let's make tonight unforgettable. Wave Men's Health, making it happen.
Spring is a great time of the year for gardening, whether it's fertilizing the lawn, pruning, planting shrubs and summer blooming plants, and of course, tending to that vegetable garden. This is Mike Wiggins. If you've got spring gardening questions, we've got answers on the News Radio Garden Line, sponsored by Pensacola Hardware, every Tuesday morning at 9 on the Pensacola Expert Panel. And if you miss us on Tuesday, then catch the Encore Edition every Saturday morning at 9.
News Radio Pensacola.
Informative, local, dependable.
Get the Midday News live with Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins, 11 to 2, before Guy Benson on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Are you silver? Away!
So good. 626, 724 here on News Radio 92.3. Yes, I'm back. Yes, my voice is all messed up. Lost it again like a week ago. I hadn't ever lost my voice in my entire life, and then twice in 4 months. Apparently, my body hates me going on vacation, so I just won't do that anymore. It's fine. I mean, had a good vacation.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Okay. Oh, sorry. I was just like, amen.
Oh, man. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, good morning, gentlemen. Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer says he will not be stepping down despite growing calls for him to do that.
Chuck, resign! The people say it's time!
Demonstrator.
You can literally hear the tambourine. Oh, my God, make it stop.
demonstrators were in Brooklyn on Sunday.
It's not even a real rhyme. It's like poetic rhyme. Anyway, well, go on.
They should have used AI to write their
They probably did.
Schumer's come under fire for his recent decision to vote for a Republican funding bill, and he continues to defend that move, saying that a government shutdown would have been worse than the funding bill going into effect. U.S. and Russian diplomats meeting in Saudi Arabia today. They're just continuing discussions on a ceasefire deal between Russia and Ukraine. The U.S. wants to negotiate a naval ceasefire, then move on to a more comprehensive agreement. And the White House searching for corporate sponsors for the upcoming Easter egg roll event. Sponsorships will reportedly range from $75,000 to $200,000 with promises of logo and branding opportunities at the event.
The Easter egg roll at the White House. Well, I mean, the White House is a blank slate. I mean, by definition, right?
Yeah. Right? True.
The Easter egg roll brought to you by Westinghouse. or by, I don't know, Tesla or SpaceX, you know? Oh, okay. So I literally did what you asked, David. I just opened up ChatGPT because I haven't used a lot of the other AIs.
Right.
I know there's a lot better ones out there. And I said, write a chant for Chuck Schumer to resign. What did the AI come up with? I'll tell you in a second. John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
I was so just waiting. Okay. All right. Let's see here. If you're traveling on I-10 eastbound between Pine Forest and Highway 29, we're starting to see some congestion delays there, about 5 to 7 minutes. And also around the Garcon Point Bridge, we're seeing some delays both east and westbound. About a 7 to 9 minute delay through that construction zone. Other than that, we're looking good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
All right, I got a ChatGPT for you on the Chuck Schumer chant.
Let's
you
do
ready?
It.
Okay, I've read it, and I will say, it's okay. It requires you to sort of misemphasize a word in order to make the rhyme the rhythm scheme work properly. But here goes.
Wait, I need a tambourine.
Yeah, well, I mean, we're just out of luck.
Ding, ding, ding.
Oh my God, stop it. Chuck must go. It's time to leave. We need change. We must believe. ChatGPT wrote this. Schumer out. No more delay. Resign now. That's when you have to mispronounce. Schumer out. No more delay. Resign now. It's time today.
Oh.
Kind of reminds me of the screenwriters' strike. You know, some of the chants that they had, which always I thought was like, now's your time to shine, people. Show
exactly.
us what you got. And
you can write it.
They did not. They pretended like they didn't know how to write. So that's the best AI chant that we've got for Schumer getting out. 727, I know, a little disappointing. 727 on which is good. You know, you don't want but as Bobby Rossi always says, AI is as dumb as it's ever going to be right now.
Mm-hmm.
727 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. If you have a home improvement project of any kind, or you build things for a living, if you're into commercial construction, like you build houses and buildings and whatever, Pensacola Hardware is your place. They are the commercial construction supply business for Pensacola. For example, okay, if you are a professional in this realm, and look, I am not, but if you are, okay, if you go to Pensacola Hardware, you're not going to have a translator for what you need. They're going to speak your language. Because, you know, sometimes, like, you might go elsewhere and find that you know more than anybody, which is not good at the hardware store, or that they don't even understand what you're talking about, let alone how to answer your question. At Pensacola Hardware, you'll have neither of those problems. They will understand what you're talking about. They will be able to solve your problem. They will have it in stock unless it's some, like, custom thing that the engineer or the architect required specified products. They can order those for you. They love doing that for folks. They are very, very good at it. They're not afraid of those things. So they're there to help you. Build things, repair things, whatever the case may be. Pensacola Hardware is helping people build, rebuild, and remodel Pensacola since 1851. The oldest business in Florida, one of the 50 oldest in the entire United States. 729 here on News Radio 92.3. I guess we're going to get a soccer team maybe. That was kind of cool news last week. You know, that the USL is in exclusive negotiations with the city of Pensacola over the possibility of having a soccer team here somewhere, some unspecified location, because it's too early in the process, which I understand. That's fine. You know, and you start thinking about the, well, could it be at Wahoo's? I don't know. They're running out of land fast. Could it be at the Tech Park? Well, no. Can't do anything at the Tech Park. You know, where else? Well, we took the soccer fields off of 29 and developed that into a Wawa and a trucking center. So that's not going to be possible. I don't know. Where else do we have a big enough space where it could be? You might say, and this is, I'm not saying we should do this. I'm just saying this is what occurred to me. Remember, it's going to be soccer mostly with some other stuff occasionally like football. So you're talking multi-purpose field. Well, we do have the Langley complex, which is probably not adequate to the needs of size. You have like Ashton Brosnahan kind of already exists with at least a soccer field, a good one. You have a stadium at UWF that they have for football. Could be multitask assigned for soccer. I mean, theoretically, that'd be a weird place for it, sort of, because there's terrible parking. But it did make me think about how we're building a football stadium there, and now we're going to maybe build another stadium for their football slash our football. Kind of weird to build two football stadiums in a town when we didn't have any before. But, you know, I don't know. There's possibilities.
Fox News. I'm Chris Foster. U.S. negotiators are meeting with Russian officials today in Saudi Arabia about working toward a ceasefire with Ukraine.
They followed talks between the U.S. and Ukraine last night, described by the Ukrainian defense minister as productive and focused. The Trump administration wants an immediate partial ceasefire and later a comprehensive peace deal. President Donald Trump's envoy Steve Witkoff says he believes we'll see real progress today, but Russian officials are more cautious.
Fox's Jonathan Savage. Down to the Sweet 16 at the NCAA Men's College Basketball tournament and games Thursday and Friday. All four number one seeds are alive.
In the Midwest, top seed Houston will take on last year's runner-up Purdue. Auburn has Big Ten tournament champ and five seed Michigan. Florida will take on four seed Maryland in the West. Duke has been rolling through the East region.
Fox's Greg Thompson. Duke plays Arizona next. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 7:31 at News Radio 92.3, 65 and cloudy right now in Pensacola. A new route out of the Pensacola Airport launched over the weekend. Contour Airlines began their flights between Pensacola and Muscle Shoals, Alabama. Once travelers reach the Northwest Alabama Regional Airport, they have further options to get you to Charlotte, North Carolina.
Contour's mission is not only to move people around, but also build ridership for the communities and, you know, them be able to benefit from those economic dollars that come in to their community.
And that is Contour Executive Vice President of Flight Operations, Lee Harris. The flight runs twice a week on Wednesdays and Saturdays. One-way fares are $99. Airport officials say with more flights bringing people into Pensacola, our local economy will continue to grow. This comes as the airport continues planning for a second concourse and plans to increase the gate capacity there by around 50%. Well, a violent altercation just down the coastline left a couple of people in their 60s injured after they were assaulted by juveniles and an 18-year-old in Rosemary Beach. Walton County officials say that all started when two intoxicated juveniles approached the victims who were on their porch, offered to sell them alcohol. When the victims attempted to escort the juveniles off of the property, one of them started punching the victim. Other family members attempted to intervene and defuse the situation, and then more juveniles joined in on the fight. In the end, two people in their 60s were hurt. They had some bruising. One had a chipped tooth, and another person broke their arm in the scuffle. Four suspects were arrested and charged with battery. A veterans organization worked to clean up Veterans Memorial Plaza in Milton over the weekend. Irreverent Warriors, they were cleaning up the park, trying to raise money also for to prevent veteran suicides.
I think the most popular number you hear kind of thrown around is 22 military and veterans a day commit suicide. And for me, honestly, I don't squabble about the numbers. The latest VA report came out, and it looks like the numbers are not improving.
And that is Nate McDonald. That's the director of operations for Irreverent Warriors. The group holds events, and they also hold what they call silky runs. That's when the vets wear their old PT gear and go for a run or a hike to raise money, of course, also to prevent veteran suicides. A fire at a vacant Pensacola home now being investigated as a possible arson. That happened on Sunday at a home on W Street. No injuries were reported. Fire officials say nobody lived in the home, but there may have been squatters there. So now the arson investigation is underway. Well, the search for missing boaters in Northeast Florida is personal for some of the people involved. Two people remain unaccounted for after a boat capsized Friday on the St. Johns River. Eight people were on the boat. One's been found dead, four alive. The The Jacksonville Sheriff's Office says another was found last night. Maggie Cantu is one of the volunteers helping with the search. She's a friend of the family and tells local news sources that it's important to not give up on that search until everybody is found. Well, a man's hurt after being shot by deputies in Hillsborough County. The sheriff's office says a deputy shot Manuel Alvarez yesterday morning at his home at a home in Riverview. Deputies were at the home after getting a call about a domestic dispute. Alvarez had allegedly beat his girlfriend, according to deputies. When they entered the home, Alvarez pointed a gun at them and was shot. He was in critical condition when he was taken to the hospital. It's 7:35 at News Radio 92.3, and John Pickens has an update on our traffic on the fives.
That's right. Brought to you by Knox Pest Control. Their family serving your family since 1929. For information on a free pest or termite quote, you can visit KnoxPest.com. Knox knocks them out. No accidents to report to you right now. Still seeing some delays if you're on I-10 eastbound, right from Pine Forest all the way through Highway 29. Now it's about a 10 to 15 minute delay as traffic's backed up past Pine Forest. Also, if you're headed southbound on Highway 29 toward West Nine Mile Road, then you're going to see about a 7 to 9 minute delay there. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thank you very much, John. Now our Channel 3 weather forecast.
We are going to be looking at some wet weather as we go through the morning and the afternoon hours. 80% chance of rain with a high near 75 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 58. More sunshine on Tuesday with a high near 76 degrees. Tuesday night, temperatures dropping near 59. Keeping sunshine around on Wednesday with a high near 81 and a low near 56. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Morning Weather Center.
And thank you very much, Brooke. Right now it is 65 degrees in Pensacola, 65 really all around the area. Our next news at 8 o'clock. We have breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Now taking a look at our pre-opening market report.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. In recent months, staff across corporate America have been told that their days of working remotely are over. Just 20% of LinkedIn posts are for remote or hybrid jobs, but they're getting 60% of applications on the platform. As far as investments go, only a few luxury designer handbags gain rather than lose value over time. Hermes Birkin bags have an average annual increase in value of just over 14%, outperforming the S&P 500. However, experts said framing such designer purchases as investments does women a disservice. Genetic testing firm 23andMe said it had filed for Chapter 11 bankruptcy protection to help the $50 million company sell itself. The company also revealed that co-founder and CEO Ann Wachicki had resigned after multiple failed takeover bids. Futures are sharply higher after reports that President Trump will hold back on some tariffs. Friday, the Dow Industrials gained 32. That's your money now.
It's always Sonny's here. This is Eldon with Sonny's Barbecue. When you're ready for slow smoke barbecue prepared by local pitmasters since 1968, it's always Sonny's. Visit us at four convenient locations in the News Radio area. Pine Forest, Navy Boulevard, 9th Avenue, and in Pace on Highway 90. With $10 big deals and all-you-can-eat ribs for only $19.99 every day. Kids eat free every Saturday, and don't forget that good old banana pudding. All served with a heaping portion of Southern hospitality. Open daily at 10:45. And remember, it's always Sonny's here.
The Sanger Theater opened her doors on April 2, 1925. For 100 years, she's been the heart of Pensacola entertainment with vaudeville, movies, Broadway, and music. This month, Friends of the Sanger and the City of Pensacola are saying happy birthday to the Sanger, and we invite you to help us celebrate. Learn more about these events at PensacolaSanger.com/100. And happy birthday, Sanger.
Hi, I'm Terrence A. Gross. As many of you know, I am a local board-certified personal injury lawyer, and I have practiced in this community for almost 40 years. Our law firm handles only people that have been injured due to the negligence of another. Join me this Wednesday at 10:30 on Pep Talk as we discuss all aspects of personal injury law.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Ready for intelligent and thought-provoking conversation? Tune in to the Guy Benson Show on News Radio Pensacola. Weekdays from 2 till 4 p.m. on 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620. Guy Benson, the brilliant and charismatic host, brings you a fresh perspective on the biggest stories of the day. Guy keeps you engaged and informed. Don't miss out on the intellectual thrill ride. Tune in to the Guy Benson Show on News Radio Pensacola from 2 till 4 p.m. It's the show that'll challenge your thinking and leave you wanting more. On News Radio Pensacola.
When my daughter comes out here to try to get her education degree so that she can work with special education children, the most needy, most vulnerable members of our society, my daughter is trying to get her degree so she can serve those children that so many other people will not serve. Is my daughter welcome here at this university? Is my daughter allowed to come to this university since she's female?
That's the question that a lot of people have, thinking about UWF, the new board of trustees, the five that were appointed by the governor, the handful that were appointed by the board of governors, and then the holdouts from the prior board, and what does the future hold? This is a mom slash concerned citizen, Donna Waters, talking during the Thursday meeting of the board of trustees.
Your board president seems to think no. And I'm asking for you to disavow that kind of backward, dangerous, and damaging rhetoric.
Or she's talking about Scott Yenner, who has not been confirmed, even though he is serving as not just a member of the Board of Trustees, but actually the chairman of the board.
We need everyone. We need women. We need men. We need people who will try to make this country better and not try to put half of it back in the kitchen, back wherever. We need women who can work with these children. We need women who can be lawyers. We need women who can do everything, just like we need men.
So that didn't get addressed by Scott Yenner. It was kind of a weird situation because the Board of Trustees meeting on Thursday, they were all here mostly, except for just a couple of them who were on Zoom or whatever program they use. And Scott was one of them. And it was hard to hear him because he was chairing the meeting from somewhere else, probably Boise, where he teaches. But the comments did get addressed, okay? The member of the Board of Trustees who is the faculty Senate president, I mean, she's a teacher in the Senate, elects her to be the representative, Susan James did address her.
Ms. Waters, if you're still here, I am in teacher education, and I do not want your daughter to feel that way. You are right. She is going into a field that is much needed. I have a child myself that is in special education, and I want to thank you for speaking up. Please know that, you know, she is wanted here.
Which I think was a very important thing to say and certainly meaningful to, but Susan James is in the minority on this board. In terms of who made the appointments and what their viewpoint is, right? You got five from the governor and, what, three, I think, from the Board of Governors, which is the governing body of all of the universities. And then you have a couple of more who are still existing from the prior board. And then you have the student body president, and then you have the faculty senate president. And you have weird things afoot, okay? You have weird things afoot. And the question has been from the community, should we be worried about our very, very good University of West Florida, which is, it's almost hard to imagine it doing any better than it does right now, because it is doing extraordinarily well, especially for the university kind that it is. You know, it's not University of Florida, it's not Florida State, but for being a Division II, I would call a regional university, used to be a local university, right? It's an incredibly good school for what it is. And that's why it wins all these awards and gets named all of these lists and, you know, military friendly and, you know, being named on, I mean, all the lists and winning all. It's fantastic. And in fact, during the meeting, Martha Saunders, the president, and one of the questions has been, would the new board keep her as president? I certainly hope that they do, because she has done a fantastic job. And, you know, everybody everybody's a little bit unsure about her when they first hired her after Judy Bench was leaving, right? Or when Judy Bench was leaving. She has been fantastic. And she gave a whole list of all the things the university is doing well, which if you hadn't heard her speech, it's basically her State of the University speech. I've heard it several times because I've heard her State of the University speech, plus I've heard her at the commencement, and it's all the same kinds of stuff, but it's all the things that we do well, and we do a lot of things very, very well. I've told you before, as a UWF parent, I have one there now, one who just graduated, and one who probably will go there. I think the school is fantastic. I also think that the school does lean left culturally, but not nearly as far left as most universities out there. It's a middle left in terms of the campus culture. I can't speak to the classroom because, I mean, it's really hard to know where a campus is. You kind of have to attend a bunch of classes, know a lot of teachers, and that's just a hard thing to assess. The concern has been that Governor DeSantis is doing here what he did at New College, and it's a hostile takeover to move this campus to the right, to gut it, change it, reform it, when it doesn't need those things. It's the academic all-star student that also plays varsity sports, and now you're trying to send it to boarding school. It's kind of been, that's the analogy I've been using, okay? So that's been the reaction, especially with some of the juicier quotes from Scott Yenner's speech in 2021 to the Conservative Conference, which I listened to that speech, and I will not do a lot of quoting from that speech today. I think we should look at it. I think it's a very interesting speech. A lot of the quotes from him have to do with things like him saying that we should recruit men to be engineers, not women. We should be suspicious of the feminist mindset that produces single, independent, meddlesome, medicated, quarrelsome women. Those are kind of his words. The juicy quotes in that speech are not very good. They're pretty awful. But he was talking about not that specifically. I don't want to get into that speech today. I put Scott Yenner in one category as an I don't know yet. He hasn't been here yet. He's not been to Pensacola, as far as I can tell, or visited the campus. He is a guy from somewhere else. But what about the others? Well, some of them also have not been here. Some of them are also not from here. That doesn't disqualify them, but you should evaluate people on their own individual merit. And I have some thoughts about that. John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
That's right. No accidents to report to you right now. Looks like we're still dealing with delays on I-10 eastbound between Pine Forest and Highway 29. It's backed up almost all the way to 9 Mile. So plan about a 10 to 15 minutes extra on your commute. And other than that, we're looking good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, John. If you have any kind of complicated things to repair inside your home, you know, the air conditioning, the electrical, the plumbing, the heating, call Peden. They'll take care of you. Professional service, high-quality parts, installed right the first time with a 100% satisfaction guarantee because they know they're going to do it right. They have been expanding all along the Gulf Coast for 55 years. Panama City, Tallahassee, Pensacola. Of course, their big operation out of Allison Field. In the last couple of years, they've been expanding west to Baldwin County and now even to Mobile. So they are all over the place, and, you know, you can count on them. There's a reason that they have been growing so well. This month for March Madness, because we're in the middle of it right now, $1,000 off mini split air conditioning systems for March Madness. Cool down your garage, your sunroom, your workshop this summer. If you're the kind of person that's always like to watch the sports or the football in the, you know, the garage, basically, was a very common thing. But you don't really want to do that again through July and August without an air conditioning system. Hey, have them put in a mini split. $1,000 off right now. Find out what that might entail and see how you can enjoy a little bit of comfort when you're watching your SEC football this fall. Peden, P-E-A-D-E-N. .com. Back to the Board of Trustees meeting from Thursday. And in case you missed our earlier conversation, I went back and watched the January meeting. I watched the February meeting. We talked about that at 5:30, 6:30, and then now. And the concerns about these people are legitimate. Okay? Think about like your ideal trustee. Your ideal trustee would be somebody who is highly qualified, very smart, understands education. You'd like them to be from here because that means they understand our community, our university. Ideally, you'd like them to be graduates, okay, of UWF, so they really understand what might be right and wrong about it. But generally, you want good people, smart, with a lot of experience. But particularly, it's weird to have people who don't live here or who aren't or haven't lived here and who are not from here, right? That's weird. And that's part of the problem with this slate of candidates, is that mostly that's true. In fact, one of the things that came up in the February meeting and came up again in the March meeting is like Rebecca Matthews. And I will tell you in advance, I like Rebecca Matthews. She seems very capable. She seems very smart. And I think she's doing her best to get acclimated to a situation where she's not from here.
For everyone in the room, I did enjoy a really nice afternoon walk with Howard and Rob Overton yesterday. And we covered virtually everything downtown in the Historic Trust. They really spent a lot of time with me. And I'd also had a previous night tour, a quick night tour about in early January of it. So it was nice to see it from both perspectives and to see how active downtown is at night. I was there last night. Wonderful. Very active. And then during the day.
So she's trying to learn, to get up to speed, which is appropriate. It's still weird, okay, to have somebody who's never been to UWF be put in charge of UWF. That's weird, okay? Sometimes you hire somebody from the outside because they're not ingrained in our way of doing things. That can be good. Sometimes you want to hire a local because they understand, right? Both have their advantages and disadvantages. Meanwhile, Adam Kissel, another one of the new, you know, brand new members, he's not from here, but here's what he said at the Board of Trustees meeting on Thursday.
Thank you, Trustee James. I spent the last 2 days here on campus, if I may. I met with five deans. I met with the cabinet. I met with the folks at ECC, Emerald Coast Campus, and I met with about six faculty members, some of whom also have administrative duties. And I really appreciate all the hospitality and good conversation we had. Good. So I feel like I've already developed many excellent relationships here at the
good.
University.
Good. Thank you.
That was designed to make you an Argo. Make sure you understand that.
I'll get my colors correct next time.
So here's another one, and I'll just tell you my impression of Adam Kissel. I like him. I think he's smart. I think he's capable. I think in both of the meetings that he has participated in, I mean, there was three, but the second and the third meeting are the important ones, he has improved the content of the meeting and brought relevant expertise and questions to the table. I frankly, personally, okay, I think Adam Kissel's a great add to the UWF Board of Trustees. Jury's still out on several other members. My jury, you know, the Andrew McKay jury, is still out on several other members. But let me give you kind of just, because I know it's easy to be freaked out by this. I share your concern. And I think a lot of what DeSantis has done here is hard to explain and or very worrisome. Okay? And it does feel like a hostile takeover. There's no doubt about it. But again, at least in the case of Adam Kissel, they were talking about accreditation and changing accreditation and transfer credit. And again, the particulars here don't matter a whole lot. I just want you to listen to him talk about and kind of what it shows about him and his knowledge bringing that to this table.
But if you do look at the regional accreditors and the outcomes of the schools that are accredited by them, we notice that Sachs COC accredits and seems not to care about a 4% graduation rate at a university that it accredits in Georgia.
That's our current accreditation that I think we're switching away from SACS, okay, SACS. And he's saying that, you know, they accredit a school that has an incredibly low graduation as part of his explanation that some of these accrediting organizations are really not looking out for the outcome of the product. That's the problem.
That graduation rate over 6 years goes up to about 20-25%. SACS still doesn't care. There are many, many institutions with a graduation rate, a four-year rate, below 25%. But the policy that we have currently says all those institutions get privileged treatment. Doesn't matter because Sachs has approved the accreditation of those institutions.
In other words, let's not just take for granted that because somebody has an accreditation, that means what we want it to mean in terms of giving us quality transfers, approving their transfer credits, or producing a great output, which is ultimately serving the student and the community.
Likewise, on return on investment, we have some here, but many institutions have dozens upon dozens of programs, of academic programs, that the return on investment for a student going to college, taking that degree, is negative by tens of thousands of dollars. You go to that institution, you get your degree, and your life outcome is worse because the jobs aren't there for you in that field. We have a little bit of that here, but we have nothing like the problems among many other Sachs institutions. Again, the regional accreditor, Sachs, doesn't care about outcomes. Accreditation is almost always, almost all of the standards about inputs rather than outcomes.
And again, that's a wonderful observation. I don't think, and he even said that, it's not particularly a problem at UWF, which raises other questions I'll get to in a second.
So to use what I call the lazy shorthand of a regional accreditor somehow marking high quality, being a mark of quality assurance, is false. There is no quality assurance on the output side for institutions.
A major problem with every institution of higher learning in this country historically has been that it is designed around selling, recruiting, getting you in, and then good luck if it ever pays off for you. A major problem. That's why I have often said that the way college ought to be paid for is they take a slice of your income for the first 10 years after you graduate. If they believe in their product, that's how they ought to get paid. Not based on you paying some massive chunk of money up front for which you owe them debt, regardless of whether it actually changes your life prospects or not. But again, back to Adam Kissel, just so you get a sense of who he is.
And the current system, which I think is unfair to students, is that if they're in this category of being outside of a regionally accredited institution outside of Florida, they have to earn, I believe, 20 credits at UWF before they can even have their transfer credits evaluated. Which to me is unfair, because at that point, all of your courses that you were trying to transfer over, you've already taken a second time, you've already paid for them a second time. So I would encourage the university to implement it as quickly as possible, but also to take that individualized assessment, which it should be doing anyway, rather than in an automatic way, to maximize the credits that students want and let students not take the credits that they don't want.
He's identifying, for a small number of students to which this applies, a problem in the way UWF is set up. And listen, as a UWF parent, there are things UWF doesn't do well. We're well aware of them because we're parents having gone through the system. It's not perfect. It's very good. It can be better. I think Adam Kissel is going to make it better. I don't know about Scott Yenner yet. I like Rebecca Matthews. I think she's going to help make it better. I'm much less freaked out having watched these people for a couple of meetings than I was before, but I think there are still legitimate concerns. And it's weird to appoint people who are not from here and haven't gone here and haven't even been here. But I think, because we're not the problem child. There are other universities where this would have been more useful. 437-1620, John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
That's right. If you're traveling on I-10 eastbound between Pine Forest and all the way through to I-110, before you get onto the I-110 ramp going southbound, we've got an accident. I-10 eastbound, that's right around mile marker number 12. But again, it's right before you get onto I-110. The right lane is blocked there, causing some major delays. About a 20-25 minute delay through that construction zone and that accident. So just be aware of that. Other than that, we're looking good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Jamie Petronas is a Republican Florida congressional candidate and the Florida chief financial officer, and he joins me now. Donald Trump has endorsed you. He says, Jimmy Petronas has done a tremendous job as CFO. Petronas has my complete and total endorsement. Run, Jimmy, run, he said.
That's my plan. Look, I'm born and raised in the Panhandle. I love this part of the state. But we've got an open border policy that's got to be closed. We will close that. We have got to restore our confidence in our military and give them the support that they deserve. We will do that with the Trump administration.
He said, run, Jimmy, run, and you said, yes, sir. We'll see how it all plays out.
It's been a wild ride these past few weeks. I've met so many great people, and with your support, I'll be the voice in Washington fighting for you, putting America first every single day. The president can count on me, and so can you. I'm Jimmy Petronas, candidate for Congress, and I approve this message. I'd be honored to have your support on April 1st. Paid for by friends of Jimmy Petronas, Inc.
At Pennair Credit Union, we know that road trips don't start by driving into the sunset. A day at the beach doesn't begin with packing the car. Even car shopping doesn't really start at the dealership. Your new car journey begins with an auto loan pre-approval from Pennair Credit Union, because at Pennair, auto financing is easy. And when you get pre-approval before you shop, you'll be ready to hit the road when you find the perfect car. Get started at Pennair.org/car loan. Whether it's new, used, or refinanced, vehicle loans from Pennair Credit Union fit you perfectly. Federally insured by NCUA, Equal Opportunity Lender.
When breaking news hits, we're there to cover it. Fox News, WEAR-TV, and the News Radio team on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Man, you sure can shoot.
7:59 here on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable. It's a messy day out, but so far we've missed the most of it. But there is a, I think the wallop is coming. About an hour to our west right now. David Wayne is in the newsroom with a headline or two for us. David?
Well, Andrew, police in New Mexico say there have now been four arrests in connection with this mass shooting in Las Cruces last week. Three people were killed, 15 wounded, when gunfire erupted at what police called an unsanctioned car show.